Okay, Parshas Acharimos begins with its dating. Acharimos Shnei Bnei Aaron. The whole introduction of the concept of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim is identified as Acharimos Shnei Bnei Aaron. The chronological context is after the death of Aaron's two sons. Question has to be asked, why do we highlight the time frame as a prelude to Avodas Yom HaKippurim? Rav Simcha Wasserman Zecher Tzadik Livracha explained that when tragedy happens, it calls upon the survivors of the tragedy to conduct a personal Yom Kippur in order to seek necessary atonement. And so for that reason, by noting Acharimo Shnei B'nei Aaron, it wakes us up and gets us to think about atonement. V'chiper ba'ado v'ad beiso, the Torah tells us that the Kohen should atone for himself and for his family. So the Mishnah in Yuma notes Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that they would actually prepare an extra wife for the Kohen Gadol so he would have a house in order to atone for, assuming that his wife would, God forbid, pass away. So Rav Yitzchak Rappaport, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the famous Rav of Vilkamir, noted that the Mizbeach cries every time a family divorces. Kola Megarishes Ishto, says the Mishnah in Gittin, Afilu HaMizbeach Morid Olav Demos, even the Mizbeach cries. Now, why is it such that the Mizbeach seems to play such a crucial role in our marital relationships? So the Vilkamir Magid explained that only with grave difficulty do we allow a Kohen Gadol to divorce one of his wives after Yom HaKippurim. And there, the only reason why he got married was in order to be able to preserve the wedding and be able to preserve the Avoda. So certainly a Mizbeach would cry even for a personal divorce. There's no need for that divorce, al pi mitzvah satorah. And so therefore, the Mizbeach cries. Torah tells us that when the Kohen Gadol shall go into the Mizbeach, v'chol adam lo yiyeh ba'ol moed, no man should be in ol moed. And the Ramban explains that even malachim are not allowed to be there. So if there's no person allowed to be there, how is the Kohen Gadol able to be there? So Rav Elio Sternbach of Antwerp explains that the Kohen Gadol would be transformed into an angel at that moment in time. The idea, explains Rav Sternbach, and it's brought down by others as well, is that no angel and no single person could represent the Jewish people and plead our case in front of Hashem. And that's just a fact of life. So that necessitated the transformation of the Kohen Gadol so that he would be able to plead on our behalf in front of Hashem on Yom Kippur. V'chol adam lo yihyeh. No single individual shall be there, but there would be some greater representation of the Jewish people, and that is the role the Kohen Gadol played on Yom HaKippurim. Torah tells us, Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem l'tahar eschem, that on this day the Kohen Gadol shall provide atonement for us in order to cleanse us. Now, what's the purpose of the cleansing? What is l'tahar eschem? So the Rambam seems to suggest that it's beyond human understanding. This Tara process is something that humans don't pick up on. But the Kuzari understands that the concept of Tuma involves a cessation of life, and conversely, Tara, therefore, involves a bond with life. So Rav Sabato Shalita suggests that that is the intention here as well. Lifnei Hashem Titaru is a command. The command is to commit to life and not allow a part of our personality to die as a result of sin. That is to say, when we sin, we lose a very significant component of who we are. Yom Kippur is the opportunity for man to renew himself and shed the difficulties of the past in order to renew himself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'tahar eschem, to make yourselves whole once again. The Torah tells us, Laman Asher, after the story of the Avoda, we're told about the concept of Shchut Echutz. Laman Asher Yaviu es B'nei Yisrael es Sivcheyem, Asher Heim Zovchim La Hashem. So that B'nei Yisrael will bring their karbanos to Hashem, therefore the Shchita, the slaughtering, has to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. So the late great Gaon Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, whose Yahrzeit is upcoming this coming week, noted that there is a parallel between this parsha and that of the Shchut Echutz parsha mentioned in Parshas Re'eh. On the surface, explains Rav Aaron, the two mitzvos are the same. However, the section in this week's parsha, it seems to counteract the desire to engage in pagan worship of Mitzrayim. The concerns in Parshas Re'eh seem to be more focused on the need to counteract the difficulty of recognizing the centrality of Mikdash in human life and the need to seek it instead of being mired in the everyday functioning. Rav Aaron points out that the point of fact, it's not about, whereas in Mitzrayim there was a certain sense of wholeness and wholesomeness in being affected by a religion. It was the wrong religion that people would be connected to. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, when Bnei Yisrael go into the land of Canaan, they will have the opposite experience. There, their challenge will be bringing religion to them instead of them trying to identify with religion. God meets me at my level, my breakaway, my shul, my private house minion, instead of a person going ahead and finding it in his bate kinesios and bate midrashos. He needs to make that effort, and so therefore shchut echutz is not ideal. The Torah tells us, "Kemaasei eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem bo lo sa'asu," the actions of the Egyptians in Mitzrayim you should not do. Now, the command not to be as the Egyptians seems somewhat harsh for a nation that even prior to receiving the Torah and living in Mitzrayim still didn't submit to the urge. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu now all of a sudden concerned with the Arayos? So Rav Osner Zatzal explained that when one is surrounded by a debased society, it's easier for one to commit himself to a life distinct from that society if he wants to choose that way. However, when the Jews went into Egypt, into Eretz Yisrael from Egypt, their challenges would come from within. And so there was a reminder to be careful not to debase themselves, and that demand became more important. And thus the harsh reminder, Kemaasei Eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem bo lo sa'asu. Towards the end of the parsha, the Torah tells us, V'chai bohem, that you have to live by the rules of the Torah. And Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter pointed out that this teaches us that the more that one studies the Torah, the more he learns and discovers the way of life. And thus he explained that while the Gemara notes Chachma Bagoyim Tamein, that if you find logic in secular knowledge, believe it, because the ability to understand and make discoveries and observations in the natural sciences do exist, but still, Torah Bagoyim, if you seek a Derech HaChayim, that you should not find unless you will find it in the Torah. Torah Bagoyim, Al Tamein. Don't believe that you're going to be able to find that. And a person has such a responsibility to realize. Finally, this Shabbos is also the day before Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And so therefore, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, we will read the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh. And in the context of reading that Haftorah, Yehonasan goes ahead and challenges David and tells him, if I tell you that the chitzim are mimcha vahala, right? If the arrows are going to be on this side, I will tell the young man to go lech mitzoas achitim, to go find the arrows. But if I tell him that the arrows are beyond you, then you need to go running and you need to go further. Rav Soloveitchik interpreted this challenge on a more homiletic level. If man wishes to shed the divine role that Hashem has selected for him, then he can come to town and live a normal life in peace and pleasure. However, if man says that the arrows are far away, that you might partake of a great vision, but you'll need to travel far and enter steep valleys and ascend tall mountains in order to achieve those faraway horizons, then start on your journey, because then you will have been sent by Hashem on that journey. We go through life trying to understand and find the easy way out, but sometimes for a Jew, the easy way out is not the right way. The right way is to see things in a deeper level, to go beyond ourselves, to scaffold and see what we can achieve. If we make it our business to do so, then we will be meeting up, as David HaMelech did, with the hopes and dreams of Jewish destiny. Shabbat shalom to all, and a chodesh tov, umvarach.